Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Business is all about solving problems. And the sooner that you can identify the problems that customers have in whatever market it is you serve, the sooner you're really going to work out how you can really make money in that space.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And today I want to talk about how business is simply solving problems. That's it. If you can solve problems, which I'm going to show you a bunch of stuff that you probably already do in your regular life that might tell you you're good at this. If you can solve problems, you're going to make money. That's all business is. I heard John rant on this. I took a note. Sometimes I take notes so far out, John doesn't remember. So if John doesn't remember, we're going to jog his memory today. But that's it. That's all business is. You're simply solving problems. And if you can solve someone else's problem, there's likely a monetary value associated with you solving that problem.
Absolutely. And so it's a good way to think of business, to view it through this light, is that customers come to you because they have a problem and they need a solution that will provide them an outcome. So every customer for every business is paying for an outcome. It doesn't matter what sort of business you have, whether you're providing somebody a physical product, whether you're providing somebody a service, whether you're providing somebody information, like whatever it is, people are really buying the outcome, but the outcome is defined by the problem, right? And so it starts back at the problem. And when we talk about, you know, in marketing senses, you have people that move through the different stages of the customer journey. It's like they're unaware they have a problem, then they're aware they have a problem, then they look for the solution, and so on and such forth. So business is all about solving problems. And the sooner that you can identify the problems that customers have in whatever market it is you serve, the sooner you're really going to work out how you can really make money in that space. Because if you're the business that solves those problems, provides the answers, provides the solutions, which therefore lead customers to the outcome that they desire, then you're going to be the business that makes the most money. It's really easy to fall into the trap when you run an e-commerce business that, oh, I'm just selling people products. That's why people are coming to me. They're coming to me to buy a product. If you think about your business that way, which is what is happening, but it's not really what's happening. What's really happening is that people have a problem they want to solve and they want an outcome. Like, people don't buy an infrared sauna because they want to sit in an infrared sauna. They're buying an infrared sauna because they want to be healthier. They want certain health outcomes. They want to be able to sleep better. They want to have better skin, like whatever the health claims are around infrared saunas. It's attaining those outcomes that people are buying. The sauna is the vehicle to getting those things, and that's why they have to buy a sauna. Nobody's buying a sauna just so they can say, like, I've got a sauna sitting in the corner. Aren't I fucking fantastic? Right? Now, they might say that to their friends, and so their problem is status. They're buying the expensive sauna to put in their room, not so much because they care about the outcome, like the health outcome. They want to say, hey, I'm cool, I got a sauna. You don't. So therefore, they figure they've got better status. That's still an outcome. This is why anybody buys exotic cars. It's a status thing, right? You know, that's still a problem. And problem, I don't feel like I have enough status within my circle of friends, amongst my peers. So I'm going to buy something that will make me look like, or think I look like I'm more successful than I currently do. I've solved my problem. My outcome is status. If you're listening in and you'd like to take the first steps towards building your own high-ticket dropshipping business, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, where we've got a free training waiting for you that's going to walk you through the first steps you need to take to start your own high-ticket dropshipping business. And I'm going to walk you through an actual example of what one of these businesses looks like. And so when you think about it in that way, rather than thinking about what products do my customers want to buy, ask yourself, what problems do my customers want to solve, then you're really getting into it. And where this helps you phenomenally is in your marketing. So, you know, high ticket dropshipping, we talk about doing things like SEO, we talk about running ads, we talk about producing content, and all of these things that you do as part of your marketing strategy. Well, all of those things become really easy when you know what problems you're solving in your business or what problems your customers have that you can help them navigate through. And on a recent podcast, you know, we had one of our partners, Sharon, on talking about her $90,000 sale and how she had to work with the customer for that. And I shouldn't say she had to, like that's a bad thing. Like she got to work with the customer over a series of months to get from the problem they had, which was, I need this type of system. It's complicated. It's customized. How do I know what I need? Like, I know the outcome I want, which is, here's the outcome over here that I need to achieve in my business, you know, with our water supply. And then, but how do I get there? Like, this is confusing. These products are big. They're very expensive. There's lots of options. There's lots of different sizes. Like, how do I know? And so Sharon solved that problem for the customer. How to work out exactly what they needed, how to get it installed, how to get it to their factory or their workplace, their business. She solved all of that. And because she solved all of that, I mean, her business gets to pocket $20,000 for doing so. And that's a real series of problems. I think people, I've heard people in high ticket dropshipping just kind of like, you know, go like, oh, you're just a middleman, or it's kind of just like a parasite business, or blah, blah, blah. Well, no, it's not, because that, you know, it's not merely putting a product in front of somebody isn't really the problem you're solving. You're actually solving a whole series of problems. And I think a lot of people really overlook this. But the minute you start thinking about your business in this way, like, then what you should be communicating to your customers in all sorts of ways becomes so much easier. So I'll end my rant there, Ben. I'm sure there's a lot you could say on this space, but
even in the simplest form, you're solving a problem of where can I buy this product? Like, in the simplest form, you're still solving a problem just by starting your business, right? Which in turn likely is going to help solve some problems in your life, I hope. But you're solving someone else's problem. You're solving a place where they can purchase the product. Now, if you take it another step further, not only you have a destination from which they can purchase the product, but what other problems do they have to get you there? Like, this is SEO 101. This is where you're going to start finding all the keywords, the four keywords, right? When I sell air purifiers, someone is looking for an air purifier for mold, an air purifier for allergies. All of those people have a outcome they'd like to have, which is they don't want to have mold in their house anymore, or have spores that they're breathing in, or have allergies anymore, right? They know they need an air purifier, which is great, and I've given them a place to purchase that, but now I need to work backwards and solve all their problems. You can do that through keyword research. You can do that by talking to your customers. That's what business is. And I love that you brought up Sharon. She solved a lot of problems in order to make that order happen, but somebody has to solve those problems. And so, like, why not you? Why not the person listening to this? And I know when I first started, I didn't believe I was it. I didn't believe I was a business person. In fact, you know, someone we both know, John, sitting back here. I hope he listens to this. He also identified, I'm not a business owner. I don't have what you have. But like, we're all the same. We all just solve problems in some way, shape, or form. You might solve them in your job, but you can solve them in your business. And the bigger the problem you solve, the more reward you're going to get. And so, like, when I look back at some of the things that they enjoy solving problems outside of business, there seems to be a trend line. I went to ChatGPT to help progress this trend line, and it spit out even more options of ways that I solved problems when I was younger that I didn't even know, like, led me to being an entrepreneur. So I've seen this in video games is a good one. Anyone who's, like, really, really good at video games, or just really, like, played them a lot to get good at them, you have to solve problems to get good at video games. A lot of people might think you're a loser. I don't care. Like, I'm not judging you for how much time you spent behind your screen playing video games. You're inevitably probably going to be pretty good at business. Poker's another one. If you spent time to get decent at poker, you're going to be good at solving problems. You're also going to be good at dealing with people. Board games, if you played a lot of board games as a kid and you, like, spent a lot of time getting good at that, those are the three I came up with. And then I went to ChatGPT, and it started naming off almost every one of these is something I did. One that stood out to me was tinkering with electronics and gadgets. I used to take apart things that didn't work in our house and try to figure out why they didn't work. I was not successful. on most of these things. But I do remember having like a radio and a TV, you know, those big ass fucking tube TVs we had when we were kids, like torn apart in my room, just trying to figure it out. I was trying to solve problems, right? Big in our house is Legos. I never got into Legos personally, but that's another one. The Lego sets that are out there nowadays are bananas, dude. Also very spendy for the really big kits. But that's a big problem to try to solve. Jigsaw puzzles, crosswords, things like that. Lemonade stands or yard sales. I know for me, it was like I had a paper route at 11 years old because I just needed to make money. I was mowing every lawn in the neighborhood trying to figure out how to make more money. Strategy or board games like Risk. If you're someone who plays Risk and enjoys playing the game Risk, which is the guy you're talking to, by the way, if you ever want to play Risk, I'm up for it. You like to solve problems. You like to like figure this stuff out. Like you don't quit easily because you want to win. Some of the other ones on here that stood out were like trading cards and collectibles. I've always been a card guy. I grew up as a card guy. My dad would take us to card shows. Not big on the collectibles, really. Pogs, if you remember what Pogs were. I definitely bought and sold Pogs back in the day. This is aging us right here, John. Team sports, I think, is a really good one. Can you be? Were you one of the leaders in your team sports? Were you somebody that stood out and led people? It's because you solved problems. You wanted to solve personalities and solve problems. Did you build forts and treehouses? Did you get stuck in trees like your boy BK? That's for sure. Trying to think of some of the other ones that are on here that really stood out to me, like designing or the people who are building model airplanes and model cars. Yes, I did get stuck in a tree and they had to call some people to get me out.
This is the picture in my head. I'm just imagining Ben in the tree. Help me,
dude. You know what's funny? Right before the
adult Ben in a tree yelling.
Oh, jeez, that's even worse. But right before the "Help me, I can't get down and I'm bawling" is this so like I had never gotten to that part of the tree. I was so fucking excited that I finally got there, and then I looked down and went. They had to call the older neighbor kid to come. Yeah, it was bad. So there's a lot of things that I think stand out as far as like ways that you problem solve as a kid that to me, that wasn't the traditional, Gary Vee talks about how he had lemonade stands and he was riding around on his big wheel and fucking recruited the neighborhood. And a lot of people think it's like that. Or if you go listen to my old podcast, the BK show, it's still out there. There's a bunch of people on there who told their story of really random stuff. Like Tony was, importing fireworks from the USA and selling them in Vancouver in like grade school to like make extra money. Like there's stories like that are cool, but like there's a lot of other stuff that stands out, like video games, poker, board games, playing games like Risk, playing simulation games like SimCity or Roller Coaster Tycoon, and like really getting into it and trying to solve problems and get better at that stuff. That's a really good sign that you like to solve problems, and so you can choose to go solve problems in someone else's business for the next 40 years of your fucking life, or you can solve them in your own business and solve someone else's problems, hopefully someone you like serving, and solve their problems and be rewarded for that in your own business. Be directly rewarded by the proportionate to the effort that you put in and the systems that you build. And so whenever my kids ask me what I do, John, this is what I say. Number one, I don't have a job. What do you do for work? I say I don't work. I solve problems. I help people solve problems in their business. And to me, that's really, really fun. And I think if you can frame business through this lens, it no longer is I'm going to go do this thing that might fail and then everyone will make fun. It's more like, oh, who cares? Like, I lost this game of Risk. I can't wait to play another game. This is fun. I like solving problems.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a couple of good kind of mindset things in there. Thinking about it like a game is one we've kind of talked about a little bit from time to time on the podcast. And that's certainly a way I think about it too. Not in the beginning for sure. Over time you start to view it more as that. A lot of people refer to marketing and businesses as the game, like you're a student of the game kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like people who have been around it for a long time. I think that's a really, really fun way to think about it for sure. People really overlook the significance of the problems that they solve, I think as well. And I think that's because it doesn't feel like a problem to you, but to your customers, I mean, these are, significant problems. And you're improving somebody's life by helping them solve their problems. Even if you view it purely as like a transactional thing, that's not how the person on the other side feels. So I think it's, if you think about your own life and your own journey, you can probably think about times where somebody in a business somewhere has really helped you, and like reflect on that, because that's you, Like when you start a business, you're that person now. You're the person and you get to have those opportunities to help somebody in a way that they're not currently getting help, and really, you know, light up their day, light up their week, give them a memorable experience. And I think that's a really fun and powerful thing to be able to do, for sure.
And when you frame it through outcome, it gets fun. Like think of a very simple business, like a car wash. What do you do? I own a car wash. Like that sounds shitty to me. It sounds okay, but like if you really sat there and thought about my friend just bought a new car, and every little crumb is getting picked up. He's taking very good care of it. He's that guy where I picture like when he comes out of a car wash that didn't scrape his car. You know, he gets out and he admires his newly shined wheels and things like. Think about that outcome you just gave somebody who's fucking thrilled that you helped them like take care of something they prize, right? Cars cost a fuckload nowadays, right? And so like imagine, you know, someone who's finally bought their new car and they're taking care of it. Like you can frame any business you own through that problem-solving lens, getting someone to that outcome to make it sound way more fun. And when you think through that lens, not through the transactional side of how do I get another sale, it's more like how do I make that guy have that feeling again? How do I find more people who I can give that feeling to? You're going to get more creative with your problem solving as well, which is only going to lead to better outcomes for your customers, which is only going to lead to them telling more people about your business. And so again, if you can just stay focused on the outcomes and solving problems here, I think it's a completely different way to think about what you're doing for a living or for a business or whatever you're doing. It's a very different way to think about your business than, you know, someone posting the screenshot of their Shopify dashboard.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you define the outcomes as well that you help people achieve, I think that's something else that people don't really do enough, is like actually sit down and think, what are the outcomes that people are achieving as a result of me solving these problems for them, right? If nothing else, just for your own mindset around the value that your business is providing, you know, your marketplace, your niche, your industry, the people that you serve. But also because if you do that, if you define those things, and you might need to get a bit of feedback from customers to help you define that, or you might need to do a bit of research in other ways, but it's going to help your marketing lots, because the minute you're able to clearly define the outcomes that people will potentially attain as a result of, you know, working with your business, purchasing the products that you sell, you're going to just sell a lot more. Your conversion rate's going to go up. So like, you know, that car wash example, you know, like absolutely, you can talk about those less tangible things about, you know, have really, you know, you've got a vehicle that you really love, and, you know, seeing it clean and well looked after makes you happy and makes you feel a bunch of things and whatnot. But like you could also probably say, like, you know, over time, the outcome that I'm providing people is that if we look after their car for 5 years and then they go to sell it, they're going to sell it for $5,000 more than they otherwise would, or $10,000 more, right? So one, that makes me feel really good as a business owner, because if I help all these people save $5,000 and I serve thousands of people, like that's a big impact, right? On their lives probably, because they can do something genuinely for themselves with that money. But also, like in my marketing, if I can go to my customers and say, use our service and you're going to save $5,000 over 5 years, like compared to the average at-home car wash or something like that, like that's, you know, from a marketing perspective, that's huge, right? That's a huge outcome to be able to use to market your business. You're going to get a lot more customers if you can do that, rather than just by saying, hey, come to my car wash, your car will be clean afterwards.
I'd love for you to leave a comment below and tell me, of that list we talked about, what did you do? So like I did almost everything I mentioned there. I played a lot of video games. I was big into poker until Black Friday, thanks George Bush. Board games were huge, big into Risk. I played SimCity. I tinkered with electronics or gadgets. I mowed every lawn in the neighborhood. You know, was it Legos for you? Was it something else I mentioned? I'm genuinely curious. Like all the people listening to this, I would say, you know, all of you are aspiring to be a business owner, or you are a business owner. And I'd love to know, you know, where do all those dots align for you? I'm curious. And then, yeah, if we can help you solve problems, that's what we're here for, right? If your number one problem is you haven't started yet, that's exactly why you're listening to this podcast. So take action. Help. Take that first step so that you can go solve other people's problems, so that you can you know, have the fun we talk about every week on this podcast. Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.